is episode 22, and I am Drew Brown.
I'm Henry Diaz.
And we're your hosts of Oral Fix. Oral Fix is a weekly social commentary podcast for the gay community. You can find us on Stitcher.com, as well as iTunes and Podomatic and SoundCloud. You can find us everywhere. So, and of course on our blog as well. So, Henry, how are you doing?
I'm good, homie Slice. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I've been, you know, just dealing with a lot of, you know, friends who are, you know, ill this week. But, you know, one good news, I had a friend who just found out that she is cancer-free. So, so that was good news.
And, congratulations.
So, you know,
to her.
She's very happy about that. And she, of course, is very happy. So that was good news. And so I have another friend who's not doing as well, but, you know, you know, I'm sending her my love and well wishes and all that good stuff. But, you know, so far the week has, you know, been good. And for you? You know, we haven't talked about your love interest. Your love interest.
My love interest. You want to talk about my love interest? Well,
we haven't mentioned him in the last podcast, so I just want to know, is it still going on? Like, are you guys still seeing each other? Are you, you know, sending him dirty pictures? Like, what's going on?
Oh, my God. Though I think he would enjoy, dirty pictures, I don't do that. And we haven't done that. And if we did, I don't think I would be talking about it. And no, it's okay. It's not anything like really serious, though. You know, we have been talking and we've been texting with each other back and forth. I was supposed to go into the city this past weekend, but it didn't work out. So maybe possibly I'll see him this upcoming weekend. I'm not sure. You know, we're taking it as it is. We're not really committing to anything, and of course, we're both bachelors, and we enjoy the bachelor life. And it's like an easy does it thing. So it's good to know and have somebody who you have this, you know, a connection of the flesh or of the minds with as well, both. And you could call that person a friend. And I think that's really healthy. And a lot of us should have those type of people. So, you know, I've gained a friend so far, and if not, you know, he lives down, you know, I'm country mouse, he's city mouse, so, and we have both different, like, really different lives. I'm, like, full of deadlines right now, and my week has been so stressful, you know, between the blog taking off because of the Sanctuary podcast, I mean, the Sanctuary post, you know, the whole sci-fi thing with Dr. Magnus having that lesbian kiss, which we'll be talking about later on, between keeping up with, I mean, the outrageous numbers on our blog, and you also, you've been, like, blogging like crazy, and me trying to, like, edit your blogs and your posts and putting them up, and my show, which I still have to finalize promotions for, which is going to happen next week, and everybody wants to know if it's still going to happen. Oh, my God. I mean, I have so much on my plate, you know, and I have, like, a couple of websites I have to take care of, and I just got an offer for to do another website. I am stressed, and I'm, you know, I'm keeping calm, which is kind of good, and I'm so super excited about this interview that we're featuring here today, this week on our episode 22. We're featuring an interview with the actor Alexis Cruz, who is my friend, who I went to high school with, and we interviewed him about his new and upcoming book that him and his friends are working on to promote. And we also get some feedback from him about the sci-fi world, and I can't wait to hear what the audience thinks about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, he seemed like a really, really cool guy, and, you know, it was really, yeah, so I think the interview went really well, and so it was good to, you know, I think, you know, it's really great to see how, you know, things have just kind of, you know, we've been doing this podcast, you know, since June, and same thing with we launched the blog at the same time, and it's been nice to see, you know, even though it's not our full-time job, it's nice to see the progression where, we've gotten, you know, from doing events to, you know, doing interviews with, you know, bands to doing interviews with, you know, now with Alexis, you know, who's an actor and he's doing his creative thing. And then we have, you know, other things in the works, you know, to have happen, you know, for the podcast. So it's kind of nice to see the natural progression is taking. And, you know, and so hopefully, you know, Baby Jesus has some, you know, good things lined up for us in the work. And so hopefully all of our hard work will, you know, pay off.
That's the first time I ever heard you say anything, like, really religious, like, Baby Jesus, really? You believe in Baby Jesus?
Baby Jesus. You know, it's just kind of like a saying I say, you know, it's just one of those things. It's not like I'm, you know, super religious or anything like that, but, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, it's just kind of like an expression.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people out there, devotees from, you know, the Catholic religion, who believe and pray to Baby Jesus, especially down in the Caribbean. They, you know, they look at him as, you know, the infant, sage or essence of Jesus Christ, and they believe that spirit still looms around, and they believe in that spirit, so they pray to him a lot, and especially when people are trying to gain some prosperity into their lives. And it's really interesting how you just used it and phrased it in your last statement. I think you're kind of onto something, and it just threw me off the content. The context that you used.
I think definitely, well, I mean, there's also, I've read, you know, the book, you know, A New Earth, you know, thanks to, you know, the guru Oprah, but there's a book called A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle, which is actually a really good book. I definitely recommend it. And, you know, it's all about, you know, the ego and just like how the ego, you know, plays with us and all this other stuff. And then he also talks about, like, you know, how, you know, when you put good things out into the universe, you know, things do happen. And then he was giving all these examples of, you know, how he, you know, he quit his job and he moved from London to America. And when he was running out of money, he, you know, he would, you know, he just basically kind of pray on it. And, you know, then he would get money to kind of, you know, keep him going for a little bit longer and a little bit longer and a little bit longer. And finally, he's a successful writer, and, you know, things have kind of, you know, happened for him, of course, with the help of Oprah. But, you know, he's very popular, and, you know, his books are great, and so there's definitely a good read. But I definitely do believe that if you do put things out to the universe, like positive, you know, thoughts and energy, that they can come to it. I have seen it, even though it can be hard, you know, at times, to, you know, because sometimes, you know, life happens and you just get kind of overwhelmed. But when you take a moment and you have that positive energy, it does, you do see how things, you know, happen around you. So not to get all spiritual.
Well, that's cool. I mean, we're here about commenting on everything that is social, and spirituality is one of them. So I think it's safe enough to now move on into the interview.
Yes, it is.
Let's move on to the interview. I hope everyone enjoys it. Here with us is Alexis Cruz, and he's an actor well-known in the sci-fi community for playing the role of Scar in the movie Stargate, and also for, I think he was doing a reprise of that role, or maybe it was a different role because I think his character was killed in the movie. In SG-1, he was playing a liaison from the same tribal people from the movie Stargate. Without further ado, here's our interview.
Hi, and welcome to a special interview with my friend, and I don't know how should I introduce you here, Alexis, but you're a star, you're a Hollywood star, especially on Stargate, the movie, and Stargate SG-1. Alexis is well known for his guest appearances and other TV-related sitcoms, and also he's been the star of several movies, which will link his IMDb profile on our show notes. And but for starters, I just want to welcome him to the Oral Fix, who he's a fan and supporter and follower. How you doing, Alexis?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Henry. Thank you.
And Drew is with us as well. You there, Drew?
I am.
Homegirl Sly. All right. Now, we have this fabulous opportunity with Alexis today because, as we were talking earlier before we started recording, the magic of Facebook, right?
Yep.
I and Alexis went to Fiorello LaGuardia High School of Performing Arts in New York City, in Manhattan. And since I actually didn't graduate there, but I left in my senior year, I haven't spoke to Alexis. I've seen him on the silver screen. And we recently got connected through Facebook through mutual LaGuardia alumni. Mm-hmm. And very happy because since then we've been going back and forth, poking each other on Facebook and kind of supporting each other on different views and different posts. But one thing that we do have in common besides acting, because we were drama majors there, is our love for sci-fi and the world of the geeky artist, right?
Yeah, Alexis? Yep, most definitely, absolutely.
Do you consider yourself a geek, Alexis?
It's geek culture now. So like
geek
you're
culture,
not
really, okay.
Yeah. So you're part of the culture now. You can call yourself a geek. I can say I'm a geek, but it's not really geeky to be a geek anymore. It's just geek culture.
So geek is now going trendy.
Right. Right.
Okay. Cool. And what do you think, for those who might not know, like, what is geek culture, what is geeky, what is your definition of a geek?
Well, okay, I guess delving, sometimes obsessing on bits of pop culture that are alternative to the mainstream in any way, but it has to be ahead of the curve in order to be geeky,
okay.
Because along with being geeky comes a certain, there is a natural process of alienation that you have to suffer through because that's part of your passion for whatever your obsession is, you know? So you have to suffer through some of that. It builds some character. Then you take some pride in being a geek, and you're still ahead of the curve, and you know something that other people don't know about until eventually people know about it. And then it becomes mainstream,
okay.
Which is where we're at now.
Okay.
So that means do you watch, like, well, I don't watch it as often because I just don't look for it. I guess some of the characters annoy me, but what's that TV show called that we were watching together, Drew? It's a comedy show.
The Big Bang Theory?
The Big Bang Theory. Do you watch that, Alexis?
Right. No, no, I don't actually. no, I'm not against that show. So I just don't watch a lot of TV because I'm always watching something, you know, on over the internet or you know, History Channel or something else like that. It's kind of rare when I get to see any kind of you know, mainstream broadcast television now.
Okay. Were you a geek in high school? Since you and Henry went to high school together, were you a geek in high school, or did you grow into a geek?
I was a magician. I was a street magician when I was 15.
No,
yeah. So that was pretty geeky at 15. It was awesome, but that was pretty geeky. And, I mean, I could only really get away with it because I was in the drama department, right? So there's a certain expectation with some of this stuff. You got to have something up your sleeve. So,
I remember you doing magic tricks at times, and Natalie was like, she was always by your side. She was like your number one fan, and she was like, she would be oohing, aahing, or whatever you did. And I remember you, like, kind of doing magic tricks now and then, but I just, wow, okay.
Well, that led me to a magician named Jeff McBride, who was doing all of the. He was doing this extraordinary act down in the village that was based on his very deep mythic of the elements and our spiritual place on them. And but with you know as a stage magician, and it was just stunning, stunning. I couldn't believe it. Like everything, every part of me woke up, and I was like, oh, that's what I have to get into that somehow. So that led me to my first Dungeons and Dragons game, because that was kind of as close to that level of imagination I could reach for, you know?
Yeah.
And at 15, we started our first Dungeons and Dragons game, and we played ever since. In fact, the author of our book, The Unprofessionals, is Colin, who went to school with us and was in that D&D game. So this is sort of a return back to those bonds, too, that we had.
First of all, playing Dungeons and Dragons when we were growing up was something really dangerous because that game, that role-playing game, got a bad rap. Because people died for real.
Well, I bought into it at first too when I was even younger, right? And I would go to the comic stores with my friends and we would see it on the shelf. And we were like, oh no, we can't touch it. It's going to be dangerous. Like, I don't know what's in that box. But then we saw the Marvel Super Heroes role-playing game in a similar box with just a brightly colored, you know, it's Marvel. I was like, okay, well, Marvel's not going to put out some, you know, toy kid brainwashing thing, you know, to lead us to Satan. So it must be okay. And that was our actual first experience with the role-playing games was Marvel Super Heroes.
Wow.
So
gaming and comics
sort of go together for me.
Totally. Alexis, I have something before we keep on going, and then I need to get off my chest.
Yeah, yeah.
In high school, I totally, totally, like, was not liking you.
Oh, my God.
You know why? You know why?
No, why? Please, tell me why.
Because I was really jealous of the fact that you, like, had done television. And you're like Mr. Like in my eyes, you're like Mr. Know It All. You're like we're doing everything I was doing. And then once you were in the most geeky position ever possible to be in, which is a sci-fi movie, Stargate. Which I was like, what? What the fuck is he doing there? And I'm so sorry.
What a way to treat our first celebrity guest.
I was hoping it was for something really I don't know, you know, something like, you know, a look I gave you or something I said or you know, something really
Okay. Do you forgive me now?
do you feel better that you got that off your chest?
I do. You know why I wanted to get off my chest? I mean, it's a horrible thing to admit, but I wanted to get it off my chest because I think you're wonderful, Alexis. I mean, I love your acting. I love the way you present yourself on film. You have very admirable qualities, and one of the biggest ones, which I think set me on a I Hate Alexis campaign in high school, was the fact that you challenged me several times in public in front of people. I don't remember the situations, but I remember just being, you know, in the drama department's office, and we would hang out there, a lot of us, and, you know, and we'll just shoot the breeze of bullshit about things, and you will call me on my shit, so.
Yeah, I did quite a lot of that back then.
Ball busting.
Wow.
I want to bigger and better things if you don't have anything to say, Alexis.
So what are you working on now?
We're producing a graphic novel called The Unprofessionals, a sociopathic bromance. And we just launched our campaign on Kickstarter.com. And it's written by Colin Rankin, who I mentioned earlier, like grew up together, and he's my best friend and one of the most remarkable writers that I've ever known. And we got an opportunity to reconnect and start working together again. And, you know, we just got into sync and came up with a book that's going to be really, really hot. I think people are really going to dig this book.
What's the
Chris Moreno, who's doing the art.
Can you tell us a little bit about the book?
Yeah, absolutely. It's set in New York, and it follows these two kids in college, Jake and Leo. And they live in this kind of crazy New York that's very oppressive with its apathy. And they look around and they see that they really don't have many prospects, despite how talented and intelligent they are. So they just decide, you know, screw it. Let's just, you know, go out and live our dreams. But their dreams are pretty ridiculous because they really want to make it big as hitmen, as these awesome assassins.
Nice.
So at its core, the book is really about, you know, having the passion to be too naive to follow your dreams, because there's a lot of risks on that road. Whenever you do something and take on a new endeavor, when everything is against you, you know, you have to rely on a certain passion and enthusiasm and know that you can't fail. You have what it takes, especially when you've got nothing to lose. And that's what Jake and Leo do, you know, and they set off on their adventure. And they get caught between the cops and the real professionals who really don't appreciate getting their job stolen by a bunch of punk kids.
Who's actually naive?
Well, they're smart. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's reasons. It's funny because it's not a superhero book, but there are a lot of superhero beats in the book. So Leo has a kind of secret lair that's all decked out, and you'll see why in the book. And Jake is actually secretly this kind of badass. And it's, you know, we're calling it an anti-noir criminal procedural, because it's, you know, a lot of the characters and the settings would easily fit into this backdrop of Law and Order or Criminal Minds or The Wire. But in this case, almost everyone does the wrong decision every time. They put all the pieces together wrong.
And what made you decide to do a graphic novel instead of, like, making it and turning the story into, like, a film?
For one thing, we love books. Colin and I grew up around books. I talk about it on the Kickstarter site, too, that, you know, I give Colin a lot of credit for probably teaching me how to read or enhancing, you know, teaching me about literary taste in general, which was really valuable to me in high school back then. When he had a mind for it, I didn't, and I was a performer. So it helped to inform sort of how I grew as an artist since then. And, you know, just giving me an interest in being smarter than I otherwise would have been. So we wanted to return to that, since we're really at a point where we're ready to start throwing some incredible stories down. They've been percolating for a long time, and not just between me and Colin, but the rest of my partners, too, with our group. So why not return to the original medium, you know, the sequential art medium that had influenced us so profoundly as kids? And because, you know, and it's an unexpected challenge to do that when everyone is expecting you to make a film, you know?
What's your hand in the process of creating this graphic novel?
Well, I was Colin's editor while we were developing it. So as Colin was writing the novel, I would basically, you know, check his work, make sure it was, well, not check his work, but help guide the piece in terms of story structure and characterizations and relationships, and essentially help him find his voice as a writer, because that's one of the things that I most take pride on in how I view my work as an actor. You remember, Henry, that our work was always to interpret the author's intent.
Right.
And, you know, and that's a really a fundamental thing for me and how I go about things, and why I think I'm able to sort of step away from acting and use that very same skill, that technique, to start affecting other artists and to help facilitate for other artists what their voices are, you know, making sure that they're telling the story the way they want to tell the story. So as we developed the book and it all started coming together, I've also been producing it, so it's pretty much my job to take the masterpiece that Colin did and give it to you.
You know, one of the things that, two of the things that really attracted me to your book, and I want to just read it, is one, the artwork on the cover is phenomenal. I mean, it's like East Village, early 90s, late 80s pop art type of style. Mm-hmm. And but with an intense stereogram look about it, because it's so all over the place, but if you just stare at it and meditate on it, everything starts popping out in 3D.
You know, Henry, that's exactly right. I'm so glad you put it in better words than I could have. I want a copy of this podcast, so I'll write that down. Because that cover was done by Edwin Vasquez. And he's such an incredible visionary. I'm so glad that I found him. I met him through my girlfriend, Heather, who's friends with him and his girlfriend, Janai Chain, also another incredibly talented artist. And so over time, you know, as this book was coming up, I already knew that I was a fan of Edwin's work. But when I saw an opportunity to see if I could get him to do a cover for us, it just, all the pieces fit, and I guess the book really resonated for him, too, artistically, because he just killed it. You can see all of those layers of passion within that vision that he has, and you're absolutely right. The more you look at it, the more you get from it. And that's really exactly what we were looking for this book. That is a really true reflection of what the book is, because on the surface, it's this absurdist tragicomedy. But there's things, you know, we put in there underneath it that you'll have to sort of find and judge for yourself. And I think any great story really does that. They allow the audience to make up their own decisions, to explore a little bit, all of those things. And Edwin just nailed it. He nailed that cover hard.
Yeah, I mean, this is so reminiscent to me of St. Mark's comic book store, where you find all these underground comic books and graphic novels that had these really outrageous art and storylines and themes, and they either, you know, they weren't like, you know, PG either or PG-13.
Right.
They were just all over the place. And you know, the other thing that draws me to it is, you know, the title of it. I mean, it's The Unprofessionals, a graphic novel of sophisticated bromance? Who came up with the word bromance?
Sociopathic bromance.
Sociopathic bromance.
Yeah, well, I mean, bromance is such a, you know, pop culture thing where every, you know, it's pretty popular in the hetero community.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. like this is a romance for bros?
Yeah, that's exactly what bromance. All right, let me let me explain the nature of bromance. And which I think is a remarkable...
Like, are we
thing.
Having a bromance right now?
Yes, we have a bromance tonight. Absolutely, we do. We definitely do.
I'm sorry,
well, bromance,
I'm getting
all right, it's kind of like, it's, you know, there's always been a difficulty for guys, especially the heterosexual guy, because you comment, it's a heterosexual term in our culture. Yes, but because our you know, we've always had difficulty displaying any kind of affection or pride in the bonds of fraternity, you know, beyond, or rather the old conventions of those fraternities, they really don't appeal to us anymore. We're a different generation of men with different sensibilities, and I think more of an awareness of gender and gender roles and gender stereotypes, and, you know, we're looking for our own new place in the world, too, and this is not anything particularly new, but it's been going on for probably the last 20, 30 years, this sort of change in the male, you know, social contract. So bromance developed as a way of acknowledging, you know, care and love as a common, you know, dynamic amongst males. That is not competitive. It's not sexual. It's simply based on a loving respect. Does that make sense? Whereas
sometimes
it was always based on an aggressive respect.
Right.
The pack mentality.
Yeah.
Well, we don't operate like that anymore.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Watch the Big Bang Theory, and you'll get some lessons, audience.
I mean, it basically allowed straight men to be, like you're saying, to be kind of honest about their feelings without feeling like, oh, you're gonna take this the wrong way or that kind of thing.
Right. Exactly. Or being emo about it or any of that, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's simplified, and I think that brings all of our communities closer. You know, so then, you know, when that starts carrying over to gay rights, you have an ally with any straight men, who get the idea of bromance, you know, who are looking to simply just like move on with our social contract.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Totally. So we're just about out of time, Alexis, and I do have one or two pressing questions.
Yeah.
For everyone who's listening, we are going to link and do a write-up on The Unprofessionals, a graphic novel of sociopathic bromance, which is Alex Cruz and his friend's Kickstarter project, which is which so far you have 15 backers, and I see that you have a goal of $30,000 you want to meet. You're trying to do it within 29 days, and you're ready to raise $1,490.
Mm-hmm. We're on track for a first day. I'm pretty excited.
That's impressive. And you're going out to some sci-fi convention out in the UK, and you're probably going to be promoting the book out there too, huh?
Yeah. I've actually got a few shows I'm doing. I'm lining up around. I'm going to Portland, Oregon, the second week of November, and I have some friends out there too, so that's a great opportunity to see them and, you know, spread the book around. And then I have another show here in LA, and then another show in Florida. So I'm pretty busy.
Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's great. The sci-fi community is pretty loyal, so you should be able to, you know, raise that money with no without any problem.
Well, it's still a challenge. It's still a challenge because I have to, I have to get them interested in something that is not sci-fi. So it's reasonable to expect a little resistance too, you know. I'm sort of hoping that by now, kind of the relationship that I have with the sci-fi audience has always been a really, really good one. So I hope that by now they've come to, you know, like and trust my taste. So that if I say, hey, this is worth checking out, that they will, you know, and it'll expand their horizons too, which I know they're like all good to do usually.
Well, we're hoping our audience will be, you know, who are interested, because we have a lot of queer gamers and people who are into the comic books, especially the sci-fi, that are going to help you hopefully and pledge. We know that we have a lot of readers on our blog who belong to the sci-fi world. As of late, we've Sanctuaries from the Sci-Fi Channel, the show Sanctuary. The recent episode of Monsoon featured Dr. Magnus having a lesbian kiss at the end of it, and which she welcomed. Amanda Tapping is the producer, one of the producers and writers of the show, which Alexis has actually co-starred with. Is that correct?
Yes.
And we've had a ton of freaking hits. I mean, Kamakura, Carlos Masi, the porn actor, Kamakura is the real big drag queen from RuPaul's Drag Race. Joey Kavar from, was it the MTV reality show, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
They were like our weekly, monthly posts on our blog for months since July, and they got knocked off down to like 3, 4, 5, and 6. And Helen Magnus, 2 out of 3 posts that we put up were made number 1 and number 2. I mean, if you could see the numbers that we're seeing, I mean, it's just outstanding. I mean, just for one day, she got like 237 hits. I mean, like, so we have a following from sci-fi, from the sci-fi world, and also a following of geeks. I'm sorry, who are into technology, because we do get a lot of requests for technology topics to talk about on our show.
Absolutely,
it
all goes hand in hand.
It does, and so we're hoping they're going to support you. We really encourage everyone to support you and your friends, and to look you up on our posts. Also, I definitely would like to know. I'm sure our readers would like to know. So, do you watch? I mean, okay, I know you're really good friends with Christopher Judge because I see you on Facebook mm-hmm. talking to him back and forth a lot. But are you good friends with Amanda Tapping also?
I think not good friends. Like, we don't actually talk much, but we pick up where we left off whenever we see each other. You know.
So,
which was great.
And do you follow her work on Sanctuary?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm interested in everybody that I worked with from that show, because we all, you know, while we were doing the show, we all became really close. And I think I probably maintained some pretty close ties with everyone, some pretty close real ties, and maybe because I wasn't there all the time. You know, it was intermittent back and forth, so we really shared
right.
a lot of good times over the course of, you know, 7 years.
and
so, you know, that's what we, how, that's the dynamic when we meet each other again at cons and what have you, and I follow everybody.
So did you watch Monsoon, this latest episode?
No, I haven't watched that one yet. I've been consumed with the book and putting it up on the computer, pulling my hair out and biting my nails.
Well, when you have time, you should look up the number one post, which is on our widget on the left-hand side and the right-hand side of our blog. And if you click on it, you can watch the episode when you get a chance. But
I've been wanting to catch up because I've seen every other episode up until then.
So it was phenomenal. I mean, Drew, did you watch it?
I haven't seen the episode yet, no.
Oh, my God. I mean, like, it caught everybody off guard. I mean, some of the gays already saw it coming. I mean, in the beginning of the episode, you get some, like, you know, she gets held up, Magnus, and there's, like, some abnormal who's really dykey, and she's getting frisky with her, and Magnus, like, really, like, you know, lunges into her and knocks her out, and so this, like, this kind of, like, power woman fight that happens, and then throughout the show, you know, I should have seen it coming, but I didn't, and a lot of people that were caught off guard were either really liked it, I mean, or really hated it. And some people, which, you know, I don't really care, but I kind of think, I really
Wait,
don't
did
know,
you
Amanda Tapping.
It was like a pillow fight that turned into a makeout scene?
No. It was more like, you saved me, and here's my kiss of gratitude, and I hope I get to see you more. That's the type of kiss it was.
Oh, okay.
And Magnus was like, you know, she was like kind of like surprised by it, and the woman who kissed her, you know, the lesbian scientist, was like, well, I'm sorry, was that wrong of me to do? She was like, no, in fact, I haven't been kissed like that in a long time. And, you know, Magnus is, 157 mm-hmm. years old. So Magnus just went back for more after that, and she just, like, you know, just tongue kisses the lesbian scientist. So it was like, holy fucking shit. Like, what the fuck is just happening?
Do you think So do you think, Alexis, you know, do you think all, like, the straight heterosexual geeks must have been, like, you know, fell out of their chair or bed or what have you if they saw, like, two women, you know, kissing? You know, because, you know, it's always, like, a heterosexual three to see, you know, two women.
Well, yeah, it's always hot for us. Yeah, we're talking a lot.
Do you think Amanda Tapping is hot?
Oh, gosh, she's always been hot. Are you kidding me?
You know, I have to tell you, I you know, from I was a real big SG-1 fan, and I still am, but it just, you know, she turned me on a couple of times.
Turned up. I think I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
But, yeah, it's been amazing to see... Huh? Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's been amazing and great to see, also over the years, how Amanda's grown in so many, like, her public persona, who she actually is in her real life, you know, like, all of the way she's come out as an empowered executive producer. Like, she's really making stuff happen, and she always did. But, like, to see that growth really manifest over the years, like, that's one of the reasons I actually started watching Sanctuary. I mean, I suppose everybody did for that. But rather than just be a fan, I was just kind of dazzled by how she put everything together and how she's kept everything together. And she's now, like, on the forefront of science fiction, you know? That's a pretty huge, huge accomplishment.
Yeah, and gays in space is a huge accomplishment also, and the fact that she even, like, went there can be scary for a lot of, I mean, she's gone from, she used to be, her Sanctuary used to be a audience, it used to be only a web series, you can only catch it on the web,
and then
she got all this funding, and then she got all these other networks interested in it and wanting to fund it and to actually host Sanctuary until Sci-Fi gave her, you know, the best deal. And, you know, at first I said to myself, you know, I'm not going to watch it on the web. And then I was like, it's probably going to fizzle out like all these other web series. And I felt bad because it was Amanda Tapping and, you know, I love, you know, her character and I love her in SG-1. But I, you know, and I felt like I was turning my back on her. But when it became like this syndicated thing, on Sci-Fi, I started watching it from the beginning, and I was really impressed, and I'm just, like just flabbergasted now that, you know, the direction she's taking it and how big it's been and the following that they're growing. I mean, they're almost, like, they're sensational.
Well, it just goes to show, though, it goes to show what a small group of committed people can do when they're just being true to telling their stories and getting their project made, you know, because I'm sure, you know, she experienced along with a lot of, you know, this was an independent creation, basically, and she experienced along with everybody else all the doors slamming in your face at first and all the skepticism and, you know, and you're trying to wrangle cats to make this project and to keep this project so that you can keep the quality of it while you're going. And so you have to also accept, like, what medium am I putting this to and what are the limitations of this medium? And it's difficult to go into something, you know, like a web series with all of the skepticism generally surrounding that when, you know, when you relate it to somebody as a public figure like Amanda, who had already been that much of a star, then people start getting like, why are you doing that? But she had the courage to do it. And, you know, little by little, it grew, and she had the, you know, the tenacity to stick with it. And
yeah,
this goes to show.
Despite the cheesiness of the special, of some of the special effects, she still kept at it, and the effects actually have gotten better.
Well, she went directly to the public, you know? It was her and us. So, you know, I think that's a winning combination, you know?
Totally.
Yeah, so whatever movie projects do you have lined up?
I've actually just finished a feature film called Sighting, with starring Christina Annapau. Yeah, she's awesome. So is the rest of the cast. The rest of the cast is simply brilliant in this. Like, I got to set, and I was like, oh, snap, I'm going to have to step it up. Oh, it's going to be like that. Okay. So we're really happy with this film. It should be out, I think, sometime early next year. There, it's in post-production now, which I love the sound of that term.
Okay, nice.
Well, yeah. I have to go, actually, in the next couple of minutes, and I'm dying to find out, just if I may, did you follow SGU, and if you did, what did you think about the cancellation?
It sucked that they canceled it, but as someone sort of on my side of the business, too, I could see all of the elements that led to it being canceled. So I have mixed feelings on it.
Okay.
You know? And because I had, I started watching SGU before I went back to watch all of Stargate SG-1 and Atlantis again. Before that, I had watched a few episodes here and there of everything to sort of just have a general knowledge. But I took a period later after Universe to actually go back and watch the original stuff. So then it became clear to me the experiment was necessary, but I could see why it didn't work.
Wow.
It's not to say it can't work again, you know?
It could work again.
Yeah.
You know, Alexis, this was totally an awesome several 20 minutes or so with you, and I hope to have you back again. To have you back again, right, Drew?
Yes, and as a fellow, and you grew up in the Bronx as well, right?
What was that?
Well, you're from the Bronx?
Yeah.
So am I. So it's nice to see
Me too. All right. The Bronx is in the house.
But thank you so much for doing this for us, and, you know, getting to see you, and we definitely want to support you in any way that we can. I'm glad that you and Henry were able to link up, and Henry was able to, you know, start to actually like you again and not have these evil, hateful feelings.
I'll send you a rose in the mail. A bouquet would do? Okay. So, you know, if you're up to it, we'll definitely would love you to love to have you, you know, guest on our podcast again, and probably this time maybe get some feedback on your, like, you know, what you think about, like, gay Hollywood and certain films that you probably watched, and I think that would be awesome.
Sure.
If you're up to that.
Yeah. Well, definitely. Yeah, this was fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I'm going to have a lot of updates on all kinds of stuff over the next couple of months. It's getting crazy.
Well,
thank you.
Anything you wanted to say last minute and how people could contact you regarding the book?
Yes, we can go to kickstarter.com/AlexisCruz/TheUnprofessionals, or once you're on the site, just search The Unprofessionals. It'll bring us up. We're putting our links everywhere, and yeah, I think you guys will have it also. So there's that. You could also talk to us directly on Facebook, find our page there, or on my page, facebook.com/ACStation. And I'm on there all the time. It's how I communicate with people because, you know, like a website is a website and it's sort of static, but I think I like the social connectivity that I get directly with the fans. And as we sort of talk about our different interests and what have you, and spread all that love in the community around. So hit us up there. And then you'll get updates from all of that. I'll be spamming the world.
Be careful, young man. Don't get into trouble.
Don't get into trouble. Exactly.
Well, I'm wishing you all the best. And again, like Drew said, you know, we're here for you. Have a safe journey to the UK and a safe return. We'll talk.
All right.
Soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Okay, so everyone, that's Alexis Cruz and The Unprofessional, the graphic novel of sociopathic romance. You can find it on our show notes. And onward to the next segment.
The brackish water swirling around in a basin I left in the yard. Wittershin spiral of miry mud slowly devours the garden. I hear you call. The earth opens up, tugs on my feet.
welcome back. We hope you enjoy our interview with special guest actor Alexis Cruz. And what she was listening to was the song was called Year Off, and the group is called High Places. Really good track there for you. Hope you liked it. So now we're going to go into our next segment and main drag. And our topic this week is gay hate crimes. A lot of them have been popping up, you know, all over blogs and stuff like that in the news. And it's just been kind of really out of control. I was actually watching the Real World the other day. Don't judge me. But I was watching the Real World. One of the guys there happened to be two gay characters on the Real World this season. One's a lesbian and another one who, you know, he's just kind of like, you know, bisexual but kind of crazy.
He's gay.
He's gay. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, and so there was, during the episode, you know, she had the lesbian roommate, who name is Sam, you know, said, you know, she just found out that her friend was, like, in a car accident, so she, you know, and our friends, you know, they both got injured, and one had their leg amputated, and, like, all this stuff happened. So she was
in that mood,
and so they were all supposed to go someplace, and one of the roommates, who, you know, even though he's cute, but he is such a douche, like, he's such an asshole, he was, like, playing, like, you know, ping pong or whatever, and she was like, you know, listen, like, we need to leave, and blah, 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 and he was just, like, you know, giving her a hard time. And she was like, you know, I'll throw these paddles over, you know, the ledge. They were, like, on the roof. And he said, you know, I will beat the gay out of you if you throw these paddles off the porch.
What?
And I was just like, oh, my God. Like, you know, it's like, and here's this, like, you know, straight guy. And then, you know, on top of, you know, I saw this episode. And then, you know, and then she made a comment saying, you know, how evil he was, and also, like, doesn't he realize that there's so many gay people who are, you know, getting, you know, beat up in schools and, you know, bullied and all this stuff happening, and it's not right. And then, you see all these blogs and the news about all these gay men being doused with fire, and I'm like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
It's really become, you know, I mean, of course, you know, with all these, you know, young people, you know, committing suicide has, you know, really become an epidemic, and it's gotten out of control, and it doesn't seem to stop. But now, you know, this trend of burning gay men is kind of crazy. And some of it has happened, like, in gay bars.
Right, the last two happened in gay bars, I believe, or one of them.
Well, I know definitely one that happened, like, inside a gay bar, and so that was kind of, like, and so obviously, you know, the guy was either profiled or, you know, something was going on. I know, you know, there's one story of, you know, a gay man who was burned to death, and he was left on the side of a road, and this happened in Scotland. And he was only 28 years old, and he was discovered over the weekend, you know, and it's just kind of really upsetting. And then that this could happen to someone. And then another story about, you know, two men, while their gay friend was sleeping, they doused him with alcohol, and then they set him on fire.
Oh, shit.
And you know, it's really, you know, it's just really kind of out of control. Very recently, you know, a gay man, you know, was in Texas, was beaten, stabbed, and thrown into a lit fire barrel at a party. And,
oh, shit.
You know, this is, and they showed a picture pictures, and this is, you know, taking from our, you know, sister blog, you know, Unicorn Booty, and, you know, this was really, really, really bad. And they show, you know, the pictures of him and, you know, his scars, and he looks really, really bad.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. Oh, my God. It looks like he used to be a, you know, well, he's an attractive guy. Even while he's all burnt and bruised, he's kind of still good-looking. But those bruises, I mean, look at his eye. Oh, my God.
I mean, that is insane. And, you know, I mean, I remember, you know, when I found out about, you know, or when, you know, the Matthew Shepard thing happened, and that was like a really big, you know, incident, and, you know, and it was still a horrific crime and stuff like that, and you know, I thought, and of course, you know, we know that, yes, we know that there's still a lot of, you know, gay bashing that happens, but also, mm-hmm. you know, but this is out of control. Like, this is like this fire burning thing. Like, I don't know about that. Like, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous, and it's insane. And it's also insane that, you know, that these things can happen, and that people don't, like, you know, with things with hate crimes, people sometimes don't get the sentence that they deserve, you know, or some people don't, oh, it wasn't a hate crime, it's hard to tell if it was a hate crime, or whatever, and people just kind of walk off, and it's like, but you don't burn someone and do that and just be like, I just thought it was funny. Like, that's not funny.
Yeah, it's not, and some people don't just get, you know, any of it, like, you know, the whole gay thing, that people think, you know, it's just like, you know, we're still freaks in nature. They kind of see us as this temporary thing because we, you know, we're not that big, we're big of a community because more and more of us are coming out, but, you know, we're like this new thing, like, you know, if we were aliens and we just landed or something, I don't know. You know, we're here today and gone tomorrow or something. And we keep to ourselves. That's, you know, I think that's what, it's even more, disconcerting is that, even though, you know, whoever these people got lit on fire, you know, whether or not they deserved it or not, you know, no one, should be hurt maliciously like that, you know, on intent.
Yeah, but no one deserves to be, like, burned alive or, you know, like, purposely. Like, I mean, like, that's just not, especially for someone who, you know, because of their sexuality or, you know, like, that's just inhumane. Like, you just don't do that. And then these crimes are taken so lightly, and, you know, because if people are homophobic in the town, then of course they're not going to charge them. You see so many people get off, you know, and they don't really see it as, like, this is a horrific crime, and they need to be treated as such. Like, and we need to have, tougher laws that are passed that, like, yes, okay, maybe you don't want us to be married for whatever reason, and I understand that, or what have you, or you don't like gay people, but, you know, if someone does it, at least let's have an understanding that you shouldn't, that we shouldn't allow to be, like, burned or, you know, be beaten up. Like, that's just not right.
Well, it's even more dramatic because of the fact that we are a small community also, and anything that happens in their community gets notice very fast. And, you know, going back to what I was saying before, you know, we've lived, so many of us, in the closet, that we learned to be, a lot of us, conservative in the way that we approach our lifestyle. And a lot of us know that we can't be in public very out and with people, because people still judge. People are, this is still new to them. You know, it might be all good and dandy on TV and in some magazines or whatever, but, you know, the truth is, people are still digesting us and digesting to the idea that even gay marriage is now being allowed in a lot of states around the United States. And now it's going before the Supreme Court. You know, that's pretty big, you know, to be federally recognized and to, you know, and it will go through. If, you know, if not on the first run, it will go, you know, on the second. And people feel threatened. And this is like, you know, another civil movement, just, you know, the way that it happened with the African Americans back in the 60s. In the 60s, is that the wrong era? No, 60s, yeah, 50s into the 60s. You know, that's what we're facing right now.
It's really sad. I mean, it's really kind of a good thing that, that even though we are a gay podcast and, you know, we want to talk about gay issues, but it's also nice to be able to talk to people who are straight, who are, you know, supportive, like, you know, our interview with Alexis, like the people who, from Who You Love, who, you know, through their t-shirt company are, you know, trying to get their word out and also donating, you know, proceeds to LGBT, you know, charities, because we can't do it just alone. Like the gay community, of course, we need to have allies. And so it's great to, you know, to be able to see that we have allies out there. But we really need to rally together, because this cannot continue, because if this becomes an epidemic like these, you know, young kids who are, you know, bullied in school and, you know, killing themselves at 12 and 13, 14 years old, like, we don't want the same thing to happen where people think that they can go out and light gays on fire. Like, that's out of control.
It is. That's not acceptable at all.
That's just, like, not acceptable. And we really need to have, you know, tough laws that are passed that say, like, you know, no, this is a hate crime. And it's for any group. The same thing if it was, you know, someone who was, you know, African American, or if it was like religion, or, you know, Jewish, or what have you, anyone. I mean, if something bad happens like this, you know, I was also reading on Unicorn Booty that they had, you know, this lesbian couple, you know, they wrote on the people in the community, they put like they hung a noose on their property and wrote on their garage door, like, kill the gay. And just, like, you know, I mean, it's really, I mean, of course, yes, we've come a long way, but these are constant reminders that we still have a lot more fight to get people to really understand that, like, we're not trying to hurt anyone, or we're not trying to, you know, like you said, like, a lot of us are living, you know, very conservative lives, and, you know, and it also really scared of the fact that someone is going to, you know, hurt them. So
yeah, it's
we have to put an end to this. And hopefully, you know, we as a gay community, we need to kind of rally around and prevent this from happening, because no one else is going to look out for us if we don't look out for us, you know?
Well, you know, this is kind of funny that, you know, you brought this up for a main topic on this week's podcast, because a lot, you know, I've been working so hard on our blog posts, following up on Sanctuary's lesbian kiss from the episode Monsoon. And as I, you know, said in the interview with Alexis, you know, people either hated it or they liked it, and they were split in the middle. But a lot of the crazy shit that I was reading that was negative that they had to say about the episode was, I mean, it was, you know, these people sounded like middle America people, like, I can't believe that they did this to the show, like, you know, they had no right to feature that kiss or any kiss, and, I mean, they were going off of their rocker, like, trying to, like, sound, like, PC and not, like, want any, like, bad feedback, but they were being mean, you know, they were, like, you know, they were saying, like, stuff like, you know, like, I love my gay friends, or I love my gay family members, but, I don't want to see them kissing. I don't want to see them da 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 da. I don't want to see them da 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 da. And I don't feel like I should be forced to see da 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 da. You know, two women kissing. And I'm like, what? You don't make any sense. And, you know, this is just a show. It's just a kiss. Get over with it. And, you know, the whole theme of the show is, you know, a sanctuary, a place for everyone to feel safe. So, you know, if, you know, and you knew this from the beginning, and you know that this is part of the theme. And these people were just, I think, you know, for the most part, you know, a lot of, and I'm relating this back to these hate crimes, because at one point in my life, I used to be filled with a lot of hate and negativity, and I learned how to deal with it and go back to love and tolerance and really have an understanding for people instead of making it about me. A lot of these people who hate so much are really missing something in their lives, and they're missing, like, love for themselves. They're, because they've been given love so much, or they've been spoiled rotten, that they haven't, you know, people thought that they were showing them that, you know, this is the way that you love yourself, by getting your way all the time, or just that, you know, they never really got the attention that they wanted, and this is the way that they're getting their attention, by taking it away from somebody else who has it. And they don't feel that it's right that, you know, you're getting the attention and I'm not. Fuck you. You know? You know, I don't need to see this shit, not even in this show. Blah, 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 blah. And they make it, you know, they just totally, you know, blow things out of proportion. And as you can see from, you know, the news and stuff, you know, people get burned, copycat burns. I mean, and then people are resorting to now graffitiing again, you know, like, people's properties,
yeah, exactly.
Like with hate words. No, I mean,
it's crazy. And then also, you know, I mean, this, you know, yes, it is a, you know, to piggyback on what you were saying, I mean, yes, it is just a TV show, but, you know, we have to, I mean, as a, you know, as a gay man, you know, it took a long time before there to be, you know, just kind of like gay characters on TV, and to put them to be in relationships, or, you know, regardless of if I felt like I can actually relate to them or not, but to actually be able to see that. And, you know, people don't realize it's like, you know, could you imagine if you lived in a world where everything was gay and everything? I mean, this is actually this show called Gay Town, which is kind of funny, where it's like, where, you know, everyone is kicked, it's a gay town, and this one guy's pretending to be straight because he doesn't want anyone to
know. Oh, yeah, I've seen that. That's on Crackle.
Yeah. And he's pretending to be gay because he doesn't want anyone to know. But, you know, it's really funny. But, like, you know, could you imagine, like, you know, every magazine or every book, every whatever, telling you that, you know, you're wrong, you're not accepted, and what your love is just, it's not good. And, you know, to be able to have, just to see a lesbian kiss, like, I mean, that's great for, you know, someone who might have, you know, had, you know, thought about, you know, committing suicide or had dealing with issues with their sexuality, that they don't realize that it's could be saving lives. Just seeing that person, just seeing that kiss, which just seems like a very small, you know, intimate moment, can also save lives, can get people to also just feel comfortable with themselves and their sexuality. And those things, you know, mean a lot to us because we don't get to see it that often. Like, we don't see it. You know, so, I mean,
and we never complain about straight people kissing. We never complain about straight people getting it on. We never complain about that stuff. I mean, if anything, we encourage it. You know,
and it's, yeah. And there's a difference between, like, I mean, there's a difference between, you know, going to town and having sex on the street and, you know, just going off. But, like, if you are wanting to show affection to your partner, you should be able to do that without, you know, without getting, you know, gawked at or having someone, you know, say nasty things to you and all that stuff, you know. And not that I condone violence on violence, you know, but, you know, there is a group called Fast Track, you know, and they were formed in Chicago, and they basically are a group of LGBT people who are like, you know, we got to bash back. And so they go around, and they're very kind of a very radical group, and they have, you know, done all kinds of things. And, you know, it's not that I agree necessarily that, but sometimes, you know, people have to, we can't, sometimes, you know, we have to kind of, they're just doing, they have their stance
We have to stand up for ourselves, basically.
We have to stand up for it. Exactly. And so, you know, we'll definitely post the link to about the organization so people can, you know, read about it. And of course, the links to these horrific articles that, you know, have been happening. It's really sad. And, you know, we think that, you know, especially with gay marriage, you know, passing in New York, and, you know, we were so happy, but, you know, we still have a lot of work ahead of us, and hopefully, you know, we keep saying it gets better, but, you know, if I was a gay teen and I saw these articles of gay men getting burned, I would not come out. I would not want to come out, you know?
Any
celebrity could tell me it's going to get better, but, like, at the same time, you don't live where I live. You know, you're not dealing with my, you know, situation, and these people are getting burned. I would not come out. You know, I would stay in a closet. But, you know, I'm happy that, you know, I'm out and proud, but, you know, I mean, it's really scary. I mean, this could happen. I mean, it can happen anywhere. It's happened here in New York. It's happened, you know, it can happen any place. So.
Okay. Well, we have to move on. And anybody who has any feedback, you're more than welcome to leave it on a show notes, or call it in or email it in. And we're going to leave you with some music, and we'll be right back. And welcome back. That was the group The Golden Filter, and the song was called Shake. Shake your body. Shake your booty.
Don't put your day job.
I don't have a day job. Well, I design websites. I'm freelancing. I need a job. I really need like either a job or a real big, you know, something full time or a real big project that's going to bring me a lot of income, because we are suffering over here.
Hopefully we'll have another event soon. But you know.
Okay. Yeah.
So we don't have anything to throw back into the closet this week.
No, we don't. We'd rather not.
What were you gonna say?
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, how was your Halloween? Was your Halloween good?
My Halloween was trapped in my home because it snowed. There was like this real huge blizzard. I was supposed to go down to Long Island for a Halloween party with some friends, and so I went with some friends from up here. We were driving down, and right as we were like a quarter of the way there, it snowed so heavily that the traffic was really bad. The roads were horrible. And we turned back. So I came back home. I cuddled with my pillows and I blogged. I caught up on Nikita and I caught up on Sanctuary. I also caught up on some of my other shows. I think it was Thundercats. Yeah, the Burbles, which was really cool. And okay. So was Nikita. Did you watch Nikita this past weekend? It was like really good.
Yeah, it was really good. It was actually really good.
I mean, this was like traditional like Nikita from the Femme Nikita like storyline, like the way she was acting and everything. I was so psyched when I saw it. I mean, this weekend for TV shows for me, it was awesome, except for the Fringe event.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, Sunday nights has really become, you know, I mean, Nikita doesn't come on Thursday, or it comes on Thursdays, but Sunday nights has become, you know, my favorite night of television, because it is, you know, there's so many good shows. The Walking Dead, there is, Boardwalk Empire, which is on HBO, and then there is the new show, Once Upon a Time. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but you should definitely watch it. It's really, really good. And so I am really, like, Sunday night, I was just really watching TV, because I didn't realize that, you know, we mentioned the snow in our last podcast, but I didn't think it was going to be a storm. I thought it was just going to snow a little bit, and you know, because of the fact that, you know, a lot of the trees still had leaves on it, it caused all these problems. Like, a big tree in my neighborhood, you know, toppled over, and it was crazy. It was really crazy. So I did not...
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah. I did those, not do anything.
Those trees down not, there are, like, so strong. I would never guess they would have gone down.
Yeah, no, it was really bad. I was like, on Sunday morning when I went out to go to the store, it was just like this big tree, and it had like, you know, roped off and everything. I was like, it's out of control. I was like, what's going on? And then a lot of my friends didn't have power, and
really?
So it was kind of a lot of my friends, and I have a few friends that live in Westchester. You know, they don't have power. They didn't have power, and so it was really bad. You know, it was really kind of crazy. And I don't know if you've seen this picture. I'll put it in our show notes. But of course I didn't dress up. But there's a picture of Chris Brown and he was gonna wear a costume on Unicorn Booty, and he's like, oh, I'm not gonna wear it, and his penis is huge. I mean, it's kind of thin, but it's kind of crazy.
What?
But anyway. I'll put it in the show notes. I actually put the link in the show notes, so it'll be there and people can look at it.
I don't go for little boys. It's kind of like
a little boy. He's a man, but yeah, I know.
He has a little boy's face.
Yeah, but whatever. I mean, he has his own issues, but like, you know. Anyway. So Halloween was kind of uneventful.
Yeah, you went out with friends, and did you go? Was there a parade in the city? A Halloween
parade? There was a parade, but like I don't do the Halloween parade because it's just like it's so crazy.
Uh-huh.
But I just met up with some friends and who I haven't seen in like in my neighborhood and just kind of hung out and just kind of like went over to a friend's house and just kind of talked a little bit and just kind of like caught up and that kind of thing because after when you're trapped in the house all weekend, you just feel like cabin fever. So sometimes it's nice to kind of be able to get out and be amongst the land of the living.
Okay.
So, but that's that.
Okay.
So I guess that's it, right?
That'd be it.
So, as usual, you can feel free to, email us or give us any, if you have questions about anything that we've talked about or feedback or suggestions or thoughts, please feel free to email us at oralfixpodcast@gmail.com or you can call us at 646-504-3491. Also, you can follow us on our blog at oralfixpodcast.com. Or you can look for us on Twitter at Oral Fix Podcast or on Facebook at The Oral Fix Podcast. You can find us that way. And I think that's it.
You did the 646-504-3491.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Are you paying attention?
My head went somewhere else. Like,
get off
I don't,
Manhunt. Get off Manhunt for 1 minute, please.
I'm not on Manhunt. And by the way, I need to do a special shout out to the people on Adam for Adam because they have been listening also. They've been giving us feedback through their secret messages, trying to find out whether or not I'll be available for sex anytime soon. No, I'm not. But thank you very much.
For the good of the podcast, hey, listen, like, we gotta, if you gotta sell yourself to make this podcast, popular and, us to make some money, hey, you gotta do what you gotta do. Take one for the team, Henry.
No. I'm not gonna give up sex for people to listen to us. No! That is so gross. I'll be getting La Femme Nikita on people, especially on you. Don't call me kitty! I'll be getting La Femme Nikita on people, especially you, trying to hold me,
okay.
Pimp me. Anyway.
Right. So anyway, have a great week. And, as always, we, hope everything is good with you. And we hope that you're safe and all that good stuff. And hope that you come back for our next episode, 23. We're 23 episodes. Woohoo! So for some more shenanigans and antics and good stuff.
I can't believe 23 is right around the corner. Well, everybody, yes. Have a great week and keep on trucking and always have four eyes when you're walking around the street these days because you never know when you're gonna be lit on fire.
Yes, be safe. Yes, exactly. Be safe.
Mm-hmm. All right,
so we're gonna leave you with Lana Del Rey, and the song is called Blue Jeans. This is the Penguin Prison remix. So, and as always, you can get any of the music that we played throughout that podcast. You can get the link and be able to download it. So, till then, enjoy Lana Del Rey, and we will see you soon. I'm a man.
Bye.